Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone who is listening in on our CD and internet ministries. I'd also like to welcome the shut-ins. We have a few announcements that are actually in the bulletin, but I'm just going to refresh memories just so in case you don't happen to see them. Today is a worship team meeting immediately following the worship. Also, we have an annual business meeting. That's January 26th. I know it's not for another week, but I am trying to remind you so that you can get that put in your calendar. That's Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And also, the Charting the Course meeting is Saturday, January 28th from 10 to 12. Everyone is asked to participate, and please come. It is a meeting about the course that we are taking or that we will be taking in the future, and if you want to have any input into that, you might want to attend that meeting. Also, there is the chili cook-off coming up in February. You'll hear more about that later, and the Saginaw Spirit Faith Game is also in February. Now we'll listen to the introit. Thank you. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Thank you. If you'll all stand to join with me in the call to gathering. O great God, who are you?
O great God, where are you?
O great God, show yourself to us in this place at this time. We are here because we want to know you more fully.
Let us listen and sing and pray together.
The gathering hymn is on the insert in your bulletin.
Jesus, I have decided to follow.
Now, if you'll pray with me. Today, as we gather as your church family, we ask that you open our hearts to receive the message that will be given to us. Help us to become the servants that Christ calls us to be. May we take this message and use it in our daily lives. Be with us as we pray our Son's prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you'll turn to your neighbor for the passing of peace.
That's okay. No problem.
And now, if you'll remain seated while we sing, O Jesus, I Have Promised, while the children come forward for their children's sermon. Thank you.
almost got stepped on. How are you? Last week I told you my name. Who remembers? Do you remember? Ray. My name's Ray. Pastor Ray. Maybe some of you weren't here last week. I know you guys were. Were you here last week? Were you here?
No.
Okay. Okay, good. I'm too old to remember. I'm too old. We got another one? No? No? Okay. Hey, I got something with me in my pocket here. And it's actually alive. Something that's alive.
A sheep?
What do you see? What are those? Let me pour some out on you so they don't run away. I hope they don't run away. These are cockroaches. No, I'm kidding. Those are seeds, right?
They look like cockroaches.
Each of you take one. Do not put them in your mouth. Because these are not the kind of seeds we eat. All right? Take a seed. All right? Now, what do you know about seeds? You know, it's alive, actually. It's waiting to do something, but it's actually alive. And what do you know about seeds? Do you have seeds at your house for anything? Can you name some seeds that you eat? Sunflower seeds? What else? How about peas? Do you eat peas? Those are seeds. Do you eat beans, like kidney beans or something like that? Those are seeds. Tomato seeds, green pepper seeds, cucumber seeds, pumpkin seeds. There are all kinds of seeds that we have around the house that we might eat in different ways. Corn. Every piece of corn that you eat is a seed that grows or can grow a stalk of corn. But do you think seeds are supposed to remain like this? What are seeds supposed to do?
Grow.
Grow, that's right. Seeds are supposed to grow. This seed isn't supposed to remain like this. This seed is actually from a plant that likes to climb up telephone poles and people's houses, and it has a flower on it, and it can get like 20 feet tall. It can grow almost to the top of telephone poles, and in some places that's a bad thing, but some people will plant these at their house, and they will grow on the telephone pole and put out all kinds of beautiful big leaves and flowers. And I found these at my neighbor's house at the end of the growing season. I asked her if I could have some, because someday I might plant them at my house, and maybe it'll cover my whole house. I don't know. What's that?
Do we have one of these?
I don't think so. And I'm not going to let you take these home, because these can't be eaten, and I don't want something bad to happen with you. But seeds aren't supposed to remain seeds. Seeds are supposed to grow, right? You know that's true for all of us?
Yeah.
All of us are supposed to be growing. You guys are growing. Are you as tall today as you were a year ago? No, you're taller. Who's taller than you were a year ago? Yeah, you guys are taller, and you're going to get taller next year. If we're here next January and we have a children's sermon and you guys will be bigger still, what grades are you in?
First?
Second? Third grade, okay. Are you going to be in first, second, or third grade next year? Well, I hope not. I hope you're going to grow and be in second and third and fourth grade. We're meant to grow in every way, not only physically, but in our minds. Our minds are supposed to grow also. These seeds are meant for growing. And so they're alive, but they have to wait until something happens to them. Do you see the little purple, the dark purple cover on there? That's protecting the seed right now, but eventually that's cover, that shell, has to crack open so that the seed, the roots can start to grow out and the leaves can start to grow. So it has to cover. It has what?
It has a crack right there.
Yeah, that's a crack where the water can get in and start to help things to grow. So these seeds are meant for growing, and so are you. Okay, I need to have them back, okay? All right. Aren't you glad they're not cockroaches?
No, yes, better
not. I don't like cockroaches, especially when they see me first. I don't like that. Okay, let's pray. God, help us to grow in every way. You want us to be growing as young people and big people, young and old. You want us all, Lord, to be growing by your Spirit and by your Word. I thank you, Lord, when these children go to Sunday school and extended session, they can grow, and we can all grow together, Lord. Help your church to be a place where us seeds can grow. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thanks, guys, for coming down. Well, I see you invited me back from last week. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. We have the privilege of giving to a great work that is going on in the world today, and that is God's work through this church, through our American Baptist Churches of Michigan, American Baptist Churches USA. Laura Lee is with American Baptist Missionaries down in the Baja Peninsula of California. She's preaching today, by the way, down there, and our giving supports the work of God going on around the world. So I want to invite you to give to that important work today. Ushers, would you come forward? us dedicate these gifts to the Lord. All good things, Lord, come from You and belong to You. And we give back a portion in this moment, Lord, for the work of Your church, for the work of missionaries, for the work of the gospel being spread in our day, in our time. We thank You, Lord, that these gifts given today, given by the faith of Your people and the generosity of Your people, will be used by You in important work that You are doing through our hands and our hearts. We thank You, Lord. Take these gifts and use them in Your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hand if you need prayer. All of us do. All of us do. And the preacher and the deacon do need it too. I was listening. We want to lift up to the Lord those burdens that we may carry, share with one another the joys and celebrations of our life and give God glory in this time of prayers of the people. I have a list of some prayers that we want to share with you. Teresa King is asking for prayer for 6 weeks of occupational therapy and a splint. Michael Quinnen is thanking God for answered prayer in the life of James Shaw, who is now home. He's also thinking, and we should all be thinking, of those families that have lost loved ones in that Italy cruise ship accident. And Sharon Mason asking for prayer for daughter Kimberly, who is struggling with life in general, and for sister Connie. We want to pray for her. Let's also pray for Pastor Laura Lee. We talked last night and discovered that we're both preaching on the same text today. And so I don't know if that's a God thing, a lucky thing, or whatever it is, but we're making the best of that. We had a nice little chuckle over that. But do pray for her as she ministers down at the church with our missionaries, David and Joyce Anderson Reed. And so lift her up to the Lord today. She is enjoying her time and looking forward to getting back. Are there other prayer concerns today that we might lift up? Any celebrations? Anything to share? We're asking prayer for persecuted Christians in this country and around the world, those who suffer. You have in your bulletin also a list of prayer concerns. Let's now listen in silence and then prepare our hearts for time in prayer. Your word, O Lord, instructs us to be still, and in that stillness, to know that you are God, to hear your voice, to remember that you have our times in your hands, that you love us so much that you know the need of every heart and every life, every family, every struggle, and that you rejoice with us when we rejoice. You weep with us when we weep. We come on this moment, in this stillness of this time of worship, to ask you, Lord, in your goodness and mercy, to bring your healing to those who are hurting. We ask you, Lord, to lift those spiritually who are struggling with life, to care for those physically who are injured and struggling with surgery, with cancer, with whatever they may be enduring, Lord, you can be their healer, and we believe through Christ, Lord, through your Spirit, that you can bring strength to them. We lift them to you, Lord, everyone that is listed here and those on our hearts. We think especially, Lord, of the tragedy on that cruise ship, and ask you, God, to just reign in the sadness of that moment. Reveal yourself, Lord, and let there be some good counsel and some good offering of your word and advice in the midst of all the emotions, the anger, the frustrations, and the loss. Lord, we pray that your goodness would be seen even in the tragedy that exists there. So be there, Lord, in that moment. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor Laura Lee and her ministry. We ask you, God, to be with her as she shares the word this morning. In that beautiful missionary church and that you have raised up. And we ask, O God, that you would anoint her words and strengthen her for the calling and task that's before her. We thank you, O Lord, that we can lift her to you and thank you for her ministry here. We ask you, O God, to continue to be present in her deliberations and reflections and planning. Thank you, God, for loving us through the hard times, walking with us in those moments and giving us, Lord, the blessings that we experience in life. Let us rejoice, for you are indeed a good and loving God. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, I'm glad to be able to share again with you. Had a nice experience, and thank you for the support last Sunday that you extended to me as I shared the word. Again, Laura Lee is enjoying her time, but also looking forward. Neither one of us do alone very well anymore, and maybe you can understand that. So we're looking forward to being together again in our home. I'm trying to keep the home in order, but it sure isn't as clean as when she's with me. But anyway, we'll do fine. So continue to pray for Laura Lee, and thank you so much for supporting her. I want to share with you from God's Word today a couple of passages from Luke chapter 9, and then we'll also look at 1 Peter chapter 2 as we continue to think about barriers and breaking through barriers that we might face in our lives. This section from Luke chapter 9. As they were walking along the road, a man came to Jesus and said, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." And then from 1 Peter chapter 2, the first three verses. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Would you pray with me? Oh God, we ask for your words on the page to become your word in our hearts. We ask, oh God, that you would show us afresh and anew the goodness. Let us taste and see that you are good, and let us, because of that, Lord, crave more of you. More growth in our lives, more intimacy with your Son, Jesus. Let us hear his words today, understand them, be changed by them, raised up and renewed. We thank you for that work of the Spirit, the work of the Word in our lives. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. We got any real plant lovers, green thumb people here? Raise your hand if you're a green thumber. There's one, here's a couple. I'm sure there's a few maybe that haven't raised any in the choir. Any green thumbers in the choir? Oh, three, four maybe back there. I'm not one. I am not one of you. Pastor Laura Lee will tell you that she is also not a plant person, but she does a lot better with our house plants than I do. We have murdered our share of house plants that deserved a better fate. But she is more of a plant person than I am. But two summers ago at the house in Owosso where we had lived, I had the pleasure of successfully growing something, and I was so proud of myself. Grass. Okay? It was outside. We're talking grass. Our three dogs had successfully killed off much of the grass in about a 20 by 30 area just outside our back door. You can imagine how they managed to kill the grass. I'm not going to go into details there. But it looked bad, and it increased the amount of mud that they might carry in, because that's where they would wait to come in the back door. And so their little paws would get in that now dead grass, converted over to mud. And on rainy days, it was a labor to get all three of them in there without messing up the back hall and the kitchen. So I committed to digging up this patch of ground, and I labored to turn over the dirt. I borrowed a Troy-built rototiller, and I raked out the dirt once I had tilled it up, and I put some fertilizer down, and I planted the seed, and then I watered it, and I watered it, and I watered it, and God watered it, and I watered it some more, and today there is grass in this patch of ground outside the house where we lived. I broke through a barrier in my life, and I allowed the seed to actually grow. Something amazing. I do know enough to know that when seeds won't sprout or plants stop growing, something is in the way. You know that. Al, you know that. All the green thumbers here know that. Some barrier has been encountered if a seed or a plant is not growing. Water or fertilizer or light or root space. Something is there that is preventing this thing from growing. Some barrier is in place that you have to break through, or the plant will not grow to maturity and do what it's supposed to do. You have to find that reasonably correct balance of light and food and space and water. Well, I'm talking about barriers with you over these 3 weeks of filling in for Pastor Laura Lee. All of us face barriers in our lives. They're more important than lawn or grass or something that you might be trying to grow. I began sharing with you last Sunday a series of messages on these barriers that we might face. And I spoke last week about the barrier to God's blessing, the blessing of His presence in our lives, that is raised by idolatry. Idolatry can be a big barrier. When Israel was moving into the promised land, God said, "You guys go ahead, I'm not going with you, because I'm mad at you for your idols." That's a paraphrase of what He said. What God said to them is, "If I go with you, I'll probably kill you." That's a summary of last week. A barrier to God's blessing existed because of idols. Well, today and next Sunday, I want to share with you barriers to growth. Barriers to growth. Today, barriers to personal growth, growing in Christ, your walk with Christ, your relationship with Christ, your understanding of Scripture, and your growing towards maturity. I want to talk about that today. And next Sunday, barriers to church growth. And don't be fearful of that. I'm not going to beat you up on that. We all understand some of the barriers. We're just going to reflect on them together. But I want to talk about barriers to growth today and next Sunday. The sad reality is that the lack of growth describes the vast majority of churches and believers in America today. Numerically and spiritually, despite local revivals here and there, growth is generally a rare thing and not happening like it should. You can point to a few churches. You can point to a Hope Vale, or down in Owosso, there's a church called Life in Christ that has experienced some growth. Every community has some churches that experience, but the dare I say, dirty little secret is that the majority of churches are not. Many of the growing churches are actually collecting believers from other churches who are frustrated and go and jump ship to another church, and you know about that. So many of those churches are just what I call sheep shuffling. They're taking sheep from this flock over to this flock. And that's not kingdom growth. True kingdom growth is not happening in our day and very much in this country. Some ingredient is missing. Some barrier exists that is keeping genuine discipleship, growing in Christ, growing in the kingdom of God from happening. What are the barriers? Why do Bibles go unread? Prayers go unsaid? Why do teachers lack for students in Bible classes? Why do churches struggle to uncover and utilize the spiritual gifts of God's people? Why do nominating committees pull their hair out? Any of you had the fun of being the nominating committee person or people? That's a tough challenge in churches. Where are the spiritual and biblical elders we need for the future? What are the barriers to growing mature in Christ? Jesus speaks to this issue of priorities, of discipleship, and of growth in several passages that we find in the Gospels. I think He addresses this passage with Peter when He talks about in the Gospel of John chapter, I don't have the chapter written down here, I think it's chapter 21, where He speaks to Peter about feeding my sheep. He says to Peter, "I want you to feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." Jesus is saying to Peter, be sure that you're providing the nutrients necessary for people to grow. Feed my sheep. He addresses it in John chapter 15 when He speaks about abiding in the vine. You can't bear fruit if you don't abide in the vine. There's that plant, that growth image again. And He addresses it also rather bluntly in this passage from Luke 9 that I've read for you this morning. In this short passage, Jesus encounters three anonymous would-be disciples. Each one expressed in some way some desire or were invited to follow Jesus as a disciple. They wanted to be what in Hebrew is called a Talmid, a follower, a disciple. The group of disciples that followed Jesus were called Talmidim. There's an interesting discipleship process, and we don't understand this very well in our day, but in that day, a rabbi might be raised up and gain some notoriety like Jesus did, and people would begin to follow after that rabbi. But they weren't true disciples until the rabbi turned to that person and said, "You, would you like to follow me?" See, the following of Jesus didn't happen because a person made the decision. It was because Jesus extended an invitation. And so with these three anonymous people that Jesus encounters here in this passage of Scripture, each one of them probably had a relationship with Jesus for some time. They weren't just coming out of the corners, out of the woodwork, out of nowhere. They had probably been staying in the crowd around Jesus for some time. Jesus probably knew them to some degree. They were anonymous. They're anonymous to us, but not anonymous to Jesus. And each one, in their own moment in this passage of Scripture, has an opportunity to become a true disciple, a Talmid. Each one has the opportunity and a desire to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to learn Torah from Him and do what He did, go where He went. But Jesus knew their hearts. These weren't strangers again. Jesus knew their hearts, and He knew that total commitment to be a Talmid, to live the Talmid life, wasn't there in these three men. Jesus saw the barriers that were there to true discipleship, the barriers in their hearts. On a superficial level, you might hear these words of Jesus and conclude that caring for your family is a barrier to Jesus. And that's not what Jesus is saying. This is one of the hard sayings of Jesus. If you pull out a book on the hard sayings of Jesus, generally this passage is included there. There's some hyperbole here. Hyperbole, by the way, is a Greek word that means to throw high intentionally, to throw above the target. And so Jesus is using some hyperbole here, some hyperbolic language that is helping to make a strong point. And so we need to look a little deeper. We shouldn't just take this just on the surface and think that saying goodbye to our family, taking care of our deceased father is wrong. That's not what Jesus is saying. But He is pointing out barriers that keep a person from being a Talmid, a true and deep disciple of Jesus. The first one that He encounters, the first man that He encounters, evidently is more interested in earthly comforts than in a heavenly calling. This is an issue of where we find our security and our joy. Jesus seems to address here for this person the fact that if you're going to follow me, you're probably not going to have a place to lay your head. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Why do you think you will? Jesus knows that this guy is interested in a comfortable walk, a comfortable following, a place to lay down rather than a mission to fulfill. An issue of security and comfort and joy. The world has plenty to offer to entice us away from true discipleship. I want to tell you, I could live the resort life. Anybody here with me on that? I could live the resort life. I could get used to $5,000 a week for life. That would be okay with me. I've dreamt about having enough money to travel the world and play golf in every country and have Laura Lee go out and buy clothes while I'm golfing. We've talked and dreamed about that crazy idea. And I don't know, if a zillion dollars fell on my lap, I might do it, but I'd even take some friends along for the ride. So if you're one in on that trip, let me know. Not going to happen. I could make room in my heart for the comfortable life, the easy life. The earthly comforts are appealing. But Jesus said what looks appealing and feels comfortable is probably not a comfort at all in the end. There is no such thing as job security or true financial stability or even luxury. You look at the collapses, the financial collapses and economic downturns that have happened in this country, in this community, in this area, the GM triangle, and you can see that what we thought would always be available and be there is largely gone. So we can't trust in comforts that come from the world. This fellow wanted a place to lay his head. We oftentimes are guilty of wanting the comfortable way, the comfortable path, the easy way of following Jesus. And Jesus said it's probably not there. The second person Jesus encounters here displays a commitment to earthly affairs more than the urgency of heavenly affairs. This is the man that that Jesus offers. He says, "Will you follow me?" And the man says, "I need to go back and bury my father." Looks like a reasonable request on the surface, doesn't it? I mean, that's not a bad thing. But there's a little more to this moment than might be evident. And here it is. This is the research, the knowledge you gain if you do a little digging into this particular text. It was customary for the oldest son of a father to serve his father and remain with his father until that father passes. And it was only then that he would receive his inheritance. And so scholars think what was really going on here was this man was saying to Jesus, "You know, my father is not dead yet. I need to go back and stay with my father until he dies. Then I can get my inheritance. And once he's dead and I have my inheritance, then I'll follow you." That's a reasonable assumption, because that is the custom of the day. A son stayed with the father until his father was passed. Looks like a reasonable request. But it's putting ministry second to personal gain. What seems to make the most sense is not always God's way. God has His own timing, and God is asking us to put Him first, to put ministry first, not to the neglect of family. Where can you really think that Jesus would ever mean that? God wants us to be ministers to our own family and to love our wives, our husbands, our children, our grandchildren. There is nothing in Scripture that would ever call us away from that important work, that important ministry of loving our families. But we do, or we cannot, I should say, love our families well if we don't put God first. And that's the third guy here, the third person. A commitment to earthly family is more importantly to heavenly service. This is the hardest one for me. You really can't take this little. This is the fellow who says, "I want to go back and say goodbye to my family, and then I'll follow you." That's not an unreasonable request. But it doesn't put ministry first. 5 years before I met and married Laura Lee, I dated a great gal named Jane. And she was a wonderful Christian. We met in a young adult Bible study. It was a young adult Bible study group from many different churches. It wasn't representing just one church. We're a group that kind of got together and knew each other and loved God and sang songs and read Scripture and studied together. And she was a part of that group, and I got to know her, and we began to date. We had a lot of good fun together, and she really did love the Lord. We discussed marriage a few times. We were excited about the possibilities. But it was about this point in my life that God began to call me into the pastoral ministry through the church that I was a part of back in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where I'm from, Refton Brethren in Christ Church. I was involved in that church, and the pastor was helping me to understand God's call upon my life. And so I began to sense God's call, and I expressed that to Jane. And I remember the look on her face of complete sadness. And she said to me, "I can't leave my family. I can't leave Quarryville, Pennsylvania." And so we ended up parting ways, and I ended up going off to seminary. Jane today has a wonderful Christian marriage and a wonderful family. And she lives in the historic home that her grandparents built, and that's what she wanted. She couldn't follow in an itinerant, moving pastor's life. There wasn't room in her soul for that. She wanted to be with family. Not a bad thing, but I knew that my call was to put ministry first and to go where God called me to go. This is a hard one, but earthly family is secondary to God's ministry for the true disciple. And that's a hard one. There is no way around recognizing that this is a difficult one. The best way to say it is that if you want to love and serve your family, you have to love and serve God first. And then the other things will begin to fall into order. The barriers to growing in Christ, true discipleship, they aren't ugly. We're not talking necessarily about all the typical vices of drug addiction and pornography and gambling and all those kind of big, flashing signs, sort of barriers to growing in Christ. They're not the big ugly things. They're the subtle things in our lives that entice us a little further away each day from being the Talmid that Jesus has invited us to be. True discipleship is what Jesus has invited us to. And it does have a cost. This passage in Luke says, the cost of following Jesus, the NIV passage, the title for this little block of verses, the cost of following Jesus, and there is a cost. George Barna's a religious research organization. He writes this about the status of discipleship in our day. True discipleship is about a lifestyle, not simply storing up biblical knowledge. Often, churches assume that if people are reading the Bible and attending a small group, then real discipleship is happening. Unfortunately, our research shows that often this is not the case. Discipleship is about passionately pursuing the lifestyle and mission of Jesus Christ. Our studies reveal that a surprisingly small portion of born-again Christians claim that they are aggressively seeking to be true followers of Jesus. Personally, he goes on and says one more thing. Personal commitment to discipleship is one of the greatest needs in the Christian church in America today. The bottom line is that our struggle as a church, as individuals, is a result of our struggle to overcome the barriers inside us that keep us from growing in Christ. Our struggle to grow, which is common to all of us and has been present in my life and in the life of Laura Lee and our kids together, it's not God's failure. It's not God's problem. It's inside us. When Jesus spoke to these three anonymous followers who weren't able to step up to the Talmid role, it was things in them that kept them from stepping into that role. I believe that most souls who have stood here and joined Michigan Avenue Baptist Church, they've been baptized in this baptistry, they've joined other churches or been baptized in other baptistries, they make that decision intending to grow in their newfound faith. They're sincere converts. But somewhere along the line, we've kind of helped them give up on discipleship. Or maybe they were never invited to mature, but too many don't reach that level of not perfection, but spiritual maturity that is talked about in 1 Peter chapter 2. Jesus expects his followers to be disciples, to make sacrifices, to bear fruit, to learn his ways, to learn what he has done and try to do what he has done in our day and in our time. There's a desperate need for Christians to put spiritual maturity somewhere at the top 10 of their personal priorities, not down there in the after I do everything else category. The Apostle Peter put it this way, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. The church ought to be a place where we cultivate that thirst, that hunger, that appetite, that visceral desire to grow in Christ in one another. Spiritual maturity is not measured by the breadth of your knowledge, but by the bearing of spiritual fruit in the heart that each one of us have to pursue Jesus Christ and to know Him. We sang a song at the beginning of the service that I have decided to follow Jesus. This was God's choice today. And the way to overcome barriers to growing in Christ is not to kind of wish for it, but to choose it. This song is about I have decided. Unlike the seeds, which we talked about with the kids, those seeds kind of wait passively for moisture to penetrate and to break open the shell and to start the incredible living processes that are latent and potential in that seed. Not like the seed, we don't have to wait passively for something to come on us and penetrate us to begin to grow. We can make a choice, a decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. Maybe one way I might add that or rewrite that, and I've been known to rewrite the words to hymns, and sometimes the Owosso Church just shook their heads and said, well, we did it again. I have decided to grow in Jesus. That's how maybe I would change that first line. I have decided to grow in Jesus. And that's what Jesus has invited us to. Every Christian is a convert, but not every Christian is a Talmid, a disciple growing in Jesus. I guess the question before all of us, a question I wake up to every day, and maybe you do too, is will today be a day where I walk forward in my faith, growing in some way, choosing to grow in Jesus? Let's pray together. Oh God, I thank you for your word. And Lord, we read in your gospel that there were three who had the opportunity to step up in their discipleship and their following of you, and things got in the way. Barriers came up in their souls, in their lives, in their hearts. And Jesus knew that, your son knew that, and they didn't step into the role of being a true disciple. Lord, our hearts are desiring that today. We want to, Lord, be the true disciple that you want us to be. And we know, Lord, that we're going to fail at it. We're going to stumble and fall and sometimes get bored and get distracted. And sometimes, Lord, we're not going to grow like we should. But, Lord, our hearts want to. I pray, God, your Spirit would help us, that your Spirit would show us, Lord, how we might choose to grow in you and experience that. Let it help us, Lord, to support one another in that endeavor, to challenge one another. I know, Lord, that's Laura Lee's heart and for this church. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help us as a church family to be a growing body of Christ in every way. For this we ask in the name of Jesus and the power of the Spirit. Amen. Time for us to go forth to serve the Lord. And let's end our worship with number 400 in your hymnals. Have thine own way, Lord. Thank you. I will be available in the back if anyone would like to have a conversation or a moment of prayer about maybe stepping up in your own discipleship of Christ, your commitment to Christ. If you want to speak to me, I'd be glad to share that conversation, and we can pray together and rejoice together in that decision. Go forth to serve the Lord. We have a wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, laid down His life for you. Your sins are paid. Your debt is canceled because of Him. Go forth to love and serve the Lord. Amen.